introducing
Baptist
my family
Church
and
in Boston,
some thoughts for
delivered
the ministry
an ordination
here.
Sermon for a young man by the name of David Leonard.
I will say this, and I haven't said it yet.
The work of the ministry,
because maybe
Baldwin
it's a little
preached,
bit tough to think about.
Is principally contained in the solemn charge.
But my last pastorate, I was at that church for 12 years.
After describing the responsibility
this,
of the pastor,
it
he
was
urged
an aging congregation,
young Leonard to be bold.
And from the time that
the faithful
I took that church until the time that I left,
nothing that might
the place
be profitable
totally changed.
To his hearers. He will not shun
there
to declare
three
the whole
people
counsel
there,
of God.
The last Sunday that I preached
he will preach
in Christ River,
crucified.
Idaho.
As the
there
only foundation
people,
of hope.
I mean, three total people.
Though it should be a stumbling block
there when
to
I
some
first started.
And foolishness to others.
Many of them, I,
so I guess
conducted
my prayer
their funerals,
this morning,
their memorial services.
Is that Adam
many
will
of them
never
moved
fail
away.
To preach Christ
the
crucified.
The face of the church had changed.
And our congregation
totally.
Will never tire of hearing
one
it.
One of the things that I appreciate
so,
about loving and serving
that,
the
I,
Lord is that if we are faithful
to
him,
Pastor Bill.
Life changes. Everything changes around us. And I appreciated what Pastor Bob
Thanks,
had
Stuart,
to say earlier.
As we were
That's
leaving
so
last time, part way
we
home,
have to be good with that.
Stuart calls up and says, you
want
to come
Lord.
Back?
Because chances
and,
are,
he told me that
we're looking
this,
at this as a long-term ministry.
And
if the Lord keeps us here for a long term,
and we,
it's not going to be this
we'd love
like this
to do
right
that.
Now. When we're
and
done.
As time was going on,
God's
I was thinking about what I
lot.
Would like to say regarding this service here.
We have to be good with that.
And one of the things
I
was feeling as I was doing that.
God will grow it. He'll make it what it ought to be.
All of you guys that have ever
had
the responsibility of giving your daughter away to another guy in the marriage ceremony type thing.
100 kids running around here.
Well, that's how I feel.
We're going to have 100 old folks teaching
them. And there's mixed emotions regarding all of that.
We're going to have all kinds of stuff going on.
And I saw it in Craig's
and I'm excited about
eyes
that,
and his heart
too,
when he was
we'll
doing
just
that.
Watch how the Lord works.
And so that's how I feel.
Why don't you stand with me? We'll close and dismiss in prayer.
Father, you love your daughter. You
now.
Were there with her and raised her, and
be done with
and
that.
Then want the best for her, and then
the
all
Lord's
of a
house.
Sudden you go through that.
Let's bow together in prayer.
And
Father, I thank you
and that's
for
how
everything
I felt,
that has happened here today.
I
thank you for the word that was preached.
Mixed emotions.
For the encouragement.
Like I'm giving you away to somebody else.
Better things are ahead of us.
And with great
if not
expectations,
tomorrow, literally,
and
certainly tomorrow, as we look forward to what Revelation has to reveal for us, and
George
what we look
W.
at today
Truett,
specifically,
pastor at First Baptist
you
Church
for these
of
good
Dallas,
men who have gone on before me.
He was offered the
church,
position of
they've
president
laid down a
of
legacy
Baylor
of
University,
and good
he
leadership.
He declined that honor.
God, I pray that you would help each one
these
of
words.
Us to be found faithful.
He said,
as we
"I have
carry
sought
on into
and
the future,
found the shepherd's heart.
That we would be true to your word." True
that's why
truth,
he couldn't do
true
it.
True to our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Because God gave
and
him
this neighborhood and community would see
a shepherd's
in First
heart.
Baptist Church of East Wenatchee.
And I asked myself, well, what is the shepherd's
that is easily
heart?
Recognized,
how would you describe
would
a shepherd's heart?
In their own lives. I pray,
I
Father,
believe it
that we
involves at least
gospel,
two main things,
that
two
we would
major
make
things.
Disciples, and that this would be
number
a thriving,
one, loving God's word
and,
with all of your heart.
Church for your honor and for
and number
your glory,
two,
God.
Loving God's people.
We pray now for your blessing as we're dismissed. Keep each one through
and there's
the
only one way you can do both of those
whatever
things.
Whatever needs to happen in our lives, we pray that would be faithful
you. Have
to
spend time
you. Praise you in Jesus
with
holy
the author
name.
Of the
Amen.
Book, and you have to spend time with the people. And that gives you the shepherd's heart, something that through those things God imparts to every man. The pastor of the church that we've been going to in Middleton, Idaho, has a young pastor, 26-year-old. It's his first church. He was on vacation last week. And so the fellow that was speaking up there was relating to us something that he had said to him. He said, you know, I love preaching and teaching God's word. But with tears flowing down his face, he said, I also am growing in love with the people. God is giving him a shepherd's heart. Something that all pastors need. But God is the one that gives it. As you share with one another, as you fellowship in difficulties and high times, you develop that shepherd's heart for the people there. I wrote my thoughts down. Make sure I didn't mess up. The shepherd's heart, the ministry, is all about loving people. All of them, all the time, and especially those that may be a little bit more difficult to love. Because I have found that often they're the ones that need it most. They're the ones that need to be loved the most. Unconditionally, sacrificially, love them. That's the shepherd's heart that only God can give. Howard Hendricks once said, he said, only two things in this world are eternal. That's the Word of God and people. So it only makes sense to build your life around those two things, things that will last forever. Because you can only take people with you, but you also take the Word of God with you, right? Because it's also eternal. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, Paul reveals his heart. He reveals that he had a shepherd's heart. He also, in this verse, reveals the motivation, the goal, the purpose of the shepherd's heart. And he said this, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed," he said, "you are our glory and our joy." The true shepherd's heart is seeing you stand with Christ and be rewarded by him. Paul says, "That's my reward. That's my crown." And he was looking forward to that day when that would happen. One day, the goal and motivation of the shepherd's heart is to see you walking with him and one day be rewarded by him. A couple of weeks ago, my grandson's wife, Dominic, was in Fort Bragg, California. She had heard that I'd pastored a church there, and it was the first church I'd ever been the pastor of. And so she went by to see the church, and while she was there, the pastor came out, and so she got to visit with him. And he was a young man who'd only been there for 18 months. And so she told him who she was and was just took some pictures of the parsonage and of the church there. And he said, "Well, I want you to tell your grandpa this, that the light is still shining here." And that just thrilled my heart to know that over 35 years later, the ministry that I had a little part in was still going on and the light was still shining. The gospel was still being shared in that community. And what a joy that was for me. And so my word for Adam would be, keep loving God's word and keep loving the people, especially those that may be a little more difficult to love because they need it more than everyone else there. Word to all of you and a little word to him. Now I'm going to ask Bob if he would come and just share a little bit more. Oh, you got that. Okay.
He's already alive. Okay, well, Pastor Bill challenged us with the responsibility of the pastor. There you go. Yeah. Looks like you lost one of the sheep there for a moment. Yeah. Okay. Your little lamb. Yeah. Stop me. Okay. He talked about the responsibility of the pastor. I want to talk a little bit about the responsibility of the church, your responsibility, especially in connection with the pastor. And I thought earlier, if I'd known I was going to take part in a pastoral installation, I would have brought some tools. I didn't, so I'll just challenge you a little bit, okay? There are a lot of things I could say. I'll just say two. I just want to challenge you with two, all right? First, in connection with your pastor, follow him, okay? Follow his lead. There's a verse tucked away in Hebrews 13 that a lot of us Americans like to ignore, but it's there. It says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. All right. Now, this verse is not saying, and I'm not saying, you know, that pastors are perfect or beyond question, they're unaccountable or anything like that. I'm not saying that. I'm not even really talking about the give and take of decision making in a church. I'm talking more about attitudes, because there exists an attitude among some who attend churches that is sort of an automatic jerk knee resistance to any change. Okay? And that's just not right. Just an unwillingness to follow if there's anything not the status quo. That's not right. And I'm also talking about that tendency that all of us, well, let me put it differently, the temptation that all of us have to listen to a sermon and evaluate it instead of asking, what is God trying to say to me today? All right? Following your leader means that you show up for the preaching, you say, what is God going to do today? Because you know what? Preaching is not about the preacher. It's about what God is doing. Every pastor learns this at some point. You know, I've had two different kinds of responses that we see very largely to sermons over the years. And one of them is typified by a person who came out and this has happened a few times. A person comes out and they say, Pastor, I want to thank you for that sermon. I want to thank you especially for that thing that you said about, and they reel something off and you think to yourself, that's a really great point. I wish I had said that. I wish I had thought of that. And you want to ask, were you present in the same sermon that I was preaching, or did you get something in your ear? And then you realize, you know what, the Holy Spirit just made an application from this sermon that wasn't one that I thought of. It was at cross purposes. And you know, on the other side of this, that you've listened to sermons and an application has come to your mind that wasn't what the preacher was preaching, right? God does that because preaching is a supernatural thing. God calls it foolishness. You know, he says, it is through the foolishness of preaching that I have ordained to reach and change the hearts of people. And understand that when preaching is going on, God is at work. It's not about the messenger. It's about what God's doing. In fact, even messages that have theological error in them, God still uses them in some way. It's amazing what God does. So my first challenge is follow him. Ask, what is God doing here? And what does God want from me now? Okay? Second challenge is this. Don't get comfortable. And don't expect following your leader to be comfortable. Okay? Because this destination that I've talked about, we're not there yet. And while we're not there, we need to keep moving. We can't settle down. We can't feel at home because we're not at home. This world is not our home. And if you don't know that, the world will soon make it plain to you with the direction that it is going. In Hebrews 11, there's a great description of some of the best men and women in history, in the history of the church, in the history of faith, going back into the Old Testament, in fact. And it says of them in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Now, I just have to be honest, that not yet at home ethic is almost completely lost among Christians in our comfort-driven culture. Okay? We're so affluent compared to the rest of the world, and so comfortable that it becomes difficult for us to endure any change of any kind at all, including changes in ministry. And we get really wigged out when somebody wants to do it differently. But there are so many ways to accomplish things. And God has imbued us with great creativity and has given us the latitude to approach the tasks that he's given us in a lot of different ways. And we need to use that creativity. And we need to do what it takes to carry out the work that God has given us. And we need to understand that in doing that, it is not going to be easy. It is not going to be comfortable. It can't be. because we're not at home yet. I've learned something in midlife. If you don't move it, you lose it. You know, and it's true physically as well as mentally. You know, if I don't force myself to exercise, I start to lose mobility. If I don't force myself to think and learn, I start to lose the ability to think and learn. That's scary. So I have to undergo a lot of uncomfortable disciplines, like exercising 4 or 5 days a week, and like not just spending my reading time reading Star Trek novels, but reading nonfiction things that are challenging and that I have to think hard about. But that's what it takes if you want to keep on growing. And you have to keep on growing your whole life. You're either growing or you're moving backwards. Now, I say that because it's the same for the church. You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. All right? And I see churches moving backwards all around me. And it's tragic. In raising support, I tell you, I've been to some churches where they haven't changed the decor since JFK was in the White House. Okay? And they're dying. And it's tragic. And they're just a textbook illustration of what I'm saying. You either reach out, you either stretch, you either be uncomfortable, you either build your muscles or you atrophy. You either go forward or you go backwards. There's no middle ground. We are not at home. We're still on our way. So don't sit down. Keep marching. Keep moving forward. So that's my challenge to you as a congregation with your new pastor. Follow him. Ask yourself, what God doing here? And don't expect that it's going to be easy or comfortable. Expect that it's going to be a godly kind of uncomfortable. And God will bring growth to your life and to your church. And it will be a happy thing, and we'll be found faithful when the Lord returns. Okay, Bill.
Pastor Adrian Rogers once said, "We are but one generation away from paganism. We need to pass the baton. We need to hold high the torch. If this generation doesn't keep the faith and pass it to the next, there will be no faith." And that's what we're doing. That's in a very public, a ceremonial kind of way today. That's what we're doing right now, passing the baton to the next generation, to Adam and Anna, to keep the light of the gospel burning here in this place at this time. I believe that the best days are yet to come. And there's only one reason why I can say that. It's not because I think Adam is so great, and he is. It's not because I think you're so great, but you are. It's because he's so great. And that's the reason, because we serve an awesome God who's a great God. And we can say that with confidence, that the best days are yet ahead for East Wenatchee First Baptist Church here. And I get the privilege and honor to ask Adam if he would come up front here so that I can give him this baton that says this: East Wenatchee First Baptist Church, presented to Pastor Adam Harris, 1 Peter 5. No.
That's what it says.
That's what it says. 1 Peter 5, August 2018. And I'll give that to you. Wait a minute, here. I'm going to ask the deacons if they'll come. Yes, you come, because she's probably the best part of the group, right? So you're going to come, and we're going to add her to it, and we're going to lay hands on the two of you, and then we're going to pray. I'll pray first, and then maybe Bob can finish up and give you all opportunity in between to do that. So I'm going to pray. Father, as we do that. Father, we thank you for the great honor that to be part of this ceremony, this celebration. And Father, we so thank you for that. And I do pray, first of all, for health for Adam and Anna and the family, that you would keep them healthy. I pray, Father, that you would have the strength to preach boldly the truth of the gospel. And Father, more than anything, I pray that as he ministers here in this place to these special, wonderful people, that he would do it filled with the Spirit of God, empowered by him. And so we ask right now that Adam and Anna would be filled with your Spirit, and whenever he walks behind this pulpit, he would be filled with your Spirit. As he has the opportunity to pray and to counsel, he would be filled with your Spirit. Because, Father, we are totally, absolutely, 100% dependent on that. Amen. And so we do pray these things. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that that you'd guide Adam and Anna forward in this ministry, and this congregation would boldly, day by day, stand by their side, wherever your will takes this body of believers. Just bless and guide this ministry. This valley so much needs your presence and your guiding hand in our lives, and how much different and better a community it could be. Thank you, Lord, for your love.
Father, we're thankful for this special day. Thank you for our new pastor. I ask you'll use him in a special way, and we'll be blessed because of it.
Amen.
Thank you for the Apostle Paul that run the good race, fought the fight, finished. And as we pass the baton, we pray that we'll all be faithful to that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our Father, we give you great glory for what you're doing here, for what you have done over the years. And we do pray for this ministry family, for Adam and Anna and for their children. We pray your hand of blessing on them. Lord, I realize that in a relay race of the sort that we're picturing with the passing of the baton, that it's a race that all of us run. And we run it in turn, and we're part of that, all of us, whether pastors or members of the church, we're part of that. We just have special interest in it. And so, Lord, we pray that you will especially bless this man as he takes his turn with the baton and runs the race and leads. We pray that you will help us to be faithful in praying for him and in following him and in supporting him so that his ministry is a joy and not something that makes him groan. We pray that you will bless the entire family, that it will be ministry will be a blessing to them as a family. And Lord, we pray that great things will happen over these next years here in East Wenatchee because of this ministry. We pray that your name will be glorified because of all of that. We pray these things in your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.